Welcome to the Harlequin Author Spotlight Podcast, featuring the story behind the story. Gain insight into your favorite book or new novels from the authors who wrote them.
Hello, everyone. We're recording today at Harlequin headquarters in Toronto, Canada. And today I have with me New York Times bestselling author Robin Carr, who stopped in for a visit. Hi, Robin.
Hi, thanks.
Now, Robin, you've written several single title books, but today we're going to talk about your brand new book to be released this October called Bring Me Home for Christmas. This is another Virgin River book, and you're known for your advocacy for military families, but there's a very special theme in this book that celebrates reunions. I don't want to age you, but I know that you married your high school sweetheart 4 short weeks before he left for officers training school in the Air Force during the peak of the Vietnam War. I can't even imagine what a scary time that was and how grateful you must have been to have him return safely. Tell us how the experience of that homecoming affected the writing of Bring Me Home for Christmas.
Well, my homecoming with my husband, him returning after officer's training and then we went on to pilot training, was not so melodramatic. But our first assignment was at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida. And that was one of the few bases to which the POWs returned at the close of the Vietnam War. And I remember so distinctly getting a phone call. We had a wives phone tree, getting a phone call saying we have a POW coming in, and we'd all rally, and I would put the baby in a backpack and grab my two-year-old for the stroller and race down to the flight line and line up with everybody else on base and wait for that plane to land and let go of the POW who'd been held prisoner for anywhere from a couple to many years. I saw some pretty famous people get off that airplane, and it was a tearful, exciting, joyous moment.
So I imagine you brought a lot of that to this project.
I bring a lot of that to every project, and this in particular is about a very young couple that were separated before he went to Afghanistan, and now 2 years later, they have an opportunity to see if maybe they belong together. And I can't imagine what it would have been like for me if I had not been with my husband for a couple of years, and in the interim, he'd been to war. I can't even imagine. But for this story, I had to imagine. And another thing that I experienced much more recently is a neighbor of mine, her Navy chief husband, went for his first deployment of 18 months. And I remember her telling me that she would get up at 2 a.m. to watch CNN because it was real-time news. And she could see what was happening there right now. And when my son was in Iraq last year, I got very addicted to the news. Mm-hmm. And I was waking up in the middle of the night and wondering what was happening.
So your son went into the forces as well?
He is an Army physician.
So, as we've mentioned, this is a reunion book. What are the forces that shaped your heroine, Becca?
You know, I think maybe my memory of myself, although I was not a school teacher, but I remember how seriously we take love when we're in college, young women in our early 20s, how much passion we feel inside for the love of our life, and how easy it is to have your heart broken. We get a little older, we get a little tougher.
A little jaded.
But imagine, I remember 23 vaguely, but I remember. I look a lot at my daughter, who's much older than 23, as a matter of fact, but she's happily married now, but I've been through a few broken hearts with her, too.
Other than the reunion theme, what did you want to explore in your hero Denny's journey over the arc of this story?
I watched Denny become a man. He was first introduced 2 books ago in Wild Man Creek, a young man who's come to Virgin River looking for his biological father, and he's a kid. And Becca has not seen Denny since before he went to Afghanistan at the age of, 21? When we meet him again in Bring Me Home for Christmas, she's the first to realize and to recognize that the boy she fell in love with is now a man.
And there's some differences.
There are some differences. He's been twice to war. He's lost his mother. He's searched for his father. He's torn up his roots and replanted in Virgin River. And this is a man. This is a new man.
It's a whole different dynamic. Virgin River fans are extremely lucky, and they can rely on an incredible work ethic that you have to keep the stories flowing. So can you tell us what the joys and challenges are to writing a connected series like Virgin River?
The easy part and the great joy is that with Virgin River, we have a pretty big canvas to paint on. We have a whole town, and people can come and go. Just as Denny came out of nowhere looking for his biological father, this is the kind of thing that we can count on happening. Another real plus for me is that I am not yet tired of it. I've had the experience of writing books I'd rather not write, that were not my idea. I've learned that you can do it. But the best books and the most exhilarating experience comes from books that are an inspiration. And as long as I'm happy in Virgin River, it still feels like a fresh new project every time. The challenges have become, I am writing at this moment the 19th Virgin River
novel. That's incredible.
I am having a real hard time remembering what color somebody's eyes are, you know, what their age is. And Virgin River is written in real time. So the first book that was published in 2007 took place in 2007. My characters are aging progressively, and I have to keep charts and notebooks and write things down and then scramble looking for where I wrote it down. And I'm sure I've made mistakes, or I'm going to make mistakes, and I'm going to hear about it. But the challenge is the population. Virgin River is now a metropolis.
Now, I know readers are going to want to know, how does the Carr family celebrate the holidays?
Well, our celebration isn't really so much about what we do. It's pretty ordinary. We put up the tree. In fact, I keep my tree trimmed. A designer girlfriend helped me trim this beautiful tree, and we put a bag over it and stick it in the garage and haul it in at Christmas. And we buy gifts, and we have ham one day and turkey the other. And it's all very lovely, especially if we can all be together. And now that there are grandchildren, we don't make the rules. We do as we're told. Because when, you know, we used to open presents on Christmas Eve, and now it's Santa Claus is back, and so we're waiting till Christmas morning. But for the Carr family, the most important part of Christmas is what we give.
So, speaking of giving, what can your readers look forward to next on the river in 2012?
Let's see, we have some new characters coming to town. In Hidden Summit, we have a man coming to hide out in Virgin River as a part of a secret witness program because he's in danger and has witnessed a murder. Naturally, he doesn't want to be there. However, there's a woman there, and that makes everything different. And in Redwood Bend, his sister comes to Virgin River. And on her way into town, she gets a flat tire. She's the mother of 5-year-old twins, boys, and she gets a flat tire, and a motorcycle gang stops to change the tire. In that motorcycle gang is a handsome man named Dylan Childress, and he is not exactly who he appears to be. But nonetheless, their lives are changed at the side of the road. And finally, in Sunrise Point, a young woman who we've met a few books ago, who's down on her luck and a young single mother, gets a job picking apples at the Kavanaugh Orchard because it pays well and it's temporary, and she'd do just about anything to make a living. And Tom Kavanaugh, the owner's grandson, is back from Afghanistan out of the Marines, and he's taking over the orchard. It doesn't really take very long for them to start seeing love in the apple blossoms, as they say.
How wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with us, Robin. We look forward to the release of Bring Me Home for Christmas and to the next trilogy in 2012.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Harlequin Author Spotlight Podcast, all rights reserved.